Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Your Money, Your Life podcast, episode 189 of the podcast. Make sure wherever you're listening, make sure you five-star rate and review the podcast, as we always do this before we get into it. And if you're liking or watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the notification bell so you know every time I drop a new episode. We have a lot to go over this week, so I'm going to get right into the market update of the week. Actually been a stronger week for the markets. A lot of news came out. The big data set that we wanted to see this month was information on CPI. The consumer price index rose 0.6% in August, its biggest monthly gain. And also the headline CPI was 3.7% up. So core CPI increased 0.3% over the last month, then 4.3% year over year. And this just provides what we've been saying, and I said on CNBC on, I think it was Tuesday morning, that we will see an increase, or we'll see inflation still being a sticking point and the Fed still having to have a hawkish stance, meaning a stance fighting inflation with their interest rate hikes. They won't hike in September is my guess. The meeting's coming up on the 23rd, if I'm not mistaken. But this data didn't do anything to calm, you know, the inflation debate or the inflation talk, because there was big move in energy. Energy prices are kind of moving up. And so that, of course, is taken into effect when we're talking about CPI, inflation, a basket of consumer goods. And so with energy prices starting to move up over the last, you know, month or so, it's going to have an effect. You see this chart here, all items, and then less food and energy, the core is up that 4.3%, while all core headline CPI 3.7% year over year. So again, it's gotten better from the peak. Remember the peak that we had, 9% and 5.9% on a core basis? It's starting to move down. But again, the goal for the Fed is that 2%. And we're not near that yet. And so I think rates have to stay higher for longer, which is of course going to put a real strain on the availability of credit, which will slow down the economy. So that's really, and then hopefully lower, you know, slow down the increase, price increases. So we think the Fed keeps rates steady in this next meeting. There's a potential for another hike before the year's out, and I think that could potentially happen. If you look at the stock market itself, it's actually liking the news, because if you remember, you want to sell the last rate hike. You want to be able to not sell the last rate hike, but you don't want to be buying the last rate hike, because that's usually historically a time when if the Fed is lowering rates, that means the economy is in trouble. If we're lowering rates, the recession is here, you know, housing prices are going down, assets are increasing, so they're lowering rates to kind of spur economic activity. And so when we get to a pivot point, which means they'll go from keeping rates high or keeping rates steady to actually lowering, that would be, you know, a generational time for an asset reset and opportunity for people with cash, good income to take advantage of those opportunities. So in all, past month, the market's kind of been flat, flat to up, actually almost 1% up. Past week, it's looking at, with this big day today, if that day holds, 1.5% up. And again, year to date, we've done well, but we've kind of stuck around that 16%. We kind of really had the peak in July 30th. We've been roughly flat over the past couple of months here. Again, that's because there's just waiting to see if we get a pivot, if assets reprice. That's the big, big thing here that we're waiting on. So big news there. In other big company news, Citi is restructuring. Citi announced they're going to restructure. They're going to cut down management layers to speed up decisions. The stock has been slumping. They do have a new CEO. I think she came into management, her role, roughly three years ago. I don't remember when it was, but she's trying to shake things up because she's seen a little bit of a stagnation with their growth. The stock is starting to plummet and slump, and they're going to try to really shed some of the management layers and be more efficient. And a lot of companies have been doing that. A lot of companies we saw do that. Main Street still making cuts. And it's going to still happen across Main Street. We saw tech already did theirs. And now it's Main Street. Wall Street did a lot as well. And Main Street and Wall Street are going to continue to do a little bit more cuts. I don't really much do pop culture, but I thought this was interesting. Like, I saw the report myself on social media. But Gannett, the nation's largest newspaper chain, is making headlines this week because they're looking. They posted a cryptic job ad for a full-time Taylor Swift reporter. This was initially making the rounds as a Swiftie dream gig. So critics noted that Gannett has a history of bullying, gutting, and consolidating local newspapers. But anyways, it was interesting to me as a full-time reporter that's just really following one person around. I haven't really seen that much. There's beat reporters at specific, you know, if you think about sports, there's beat reporters in specific cities that follow like teams, of course. And in the case of like LeBron, I'm forgetting the guy's name. He's all Windhorse. Yeah. He was kind of like this. He was like a beat reporter that followed LeBron. Even when LeBron went to LA, he was based in Cleveland, but he like followed LeBron so much that when LeBron went to LA, he's like still following him around. So that's kind of similar here. But now they're looking for beat reporters that kind of follow Taylor Swift around and just see what she's up to. Is one of the biggest stars in music. They're also looking for someone to cover Beyonce's beat, which would capture Queen Bee's multi-generational influence. So they're looking, it's such a popular thing, these pop stars, these huge stars, they're just looking for someone to follow them around. People are going to click and read on what you have to say about them because they're the biggest stars in the world. And they want to generate full time to this. So you got to think about the math on this. I'm just doing this in my head now. What do they expect to get in revenue in those stories they put out? They must assume they're going to get much more in ad revenue versus like hiring someone to just follow someone around full time. But they're getting heat, this Gannett chain, because they've laid off writers, but they're posting for, you know, jobs for Taylor Swift and Beyonce. And it's causing a lot of controversy, it says. But, you know, that's just the game is the game. It's kind of crazy to see. In more pop culture, but this is sports. Aaron Rodgers, we saw, I don't know if you're familiar, he was a quarterback for Green Bay for a long time. I think he's won the MVP about four times, once, two times back-to-back. Won one Super Bowl. And he made the move this offseason to the New York Jets. It was huge news. It was probably the biggest storyline in the NFL because he's one of the best players, if not the best current player now that Tom Brady is retired. And it was big news. They were on Hard Knocks, which is the HBO documentary show that does a five-part series following an NFL team during training camp. And it was huge that he was going to start his game. I think, was it a Thursday night? No, it was a Monday night game. I'm getting my days mixed up. Monday night game, big. Everyone's watching his first start in the regular season. Unfortunately, it ended after four plays because he tore his Achilles tendon, ruptured, I should say, which is one of the harshest injuries you could have. It's the longest recovery process, takes about 16 months. Actually, my brother ruptured his Achilles tendon as well. Huge, huge, harsh rehab on the sidelines for a long time. He may not play again. I mean, he's 39 years old now. He probably won't be able to play again until he's 40, 41. Closer to 41 than he would be 40 years old, I'm assuming. But that's, you know, they're saying sponsors sticking with him. It was such a big move for him coming to New York. It was an impact for New York, the Jets, not only the Jets, the city. Everyone was, you know, really into it. But let's break down the numbers. He has Shoemaker, Amberjack, Swiss watch brand, Zenith, sportswear brand, Adidas, all these sponsors that are paying him based on what they thought he would potentially bring as far as eyeballs to them this season, they're standing by him. He was supposed to be the biggest comeback story after making the move to the Jets. But all these brands poured money into him, maybe potentially equity, and now they've lost on the potential eyeballs they thought they could see because they were a Super Bowl contending team and they still, you know, they had to figure out their quarterback, but they're still a strong defensive team. But he has a contract that is fully guaranteed that pays him $75 million for 2023 and 2024. And there were so many primetime appearances they probably had for the Jets, but the NFL is like, all right, now that he's gone, do we even put them on the screen anymore? Or do we have to replace them with some other team? Because it's not as exciting to watch if it's not him on there. That's got to be admitted. That's just the way it is. So big IPO news. I actually had a chart that showed how low the IPO market has been in comparison to 2021. 2022 and 2023, it's abysmal numbers as far as like initial public offerings, meaning offerings from private companies to the public for debt to raise money. And you get a fair valuation in the public markets on these companies. But there's one arm, it's a chip designer, and they're going public. And it's a big IPO, and a lot of people are, I think SoftBank is one of the biggest investors. Yeah, Arm owner is owned by SoftBank, who owns 90% of who will own 90% of stake after the deal. So they're looking to IPO at $60 per share, and they're going to start trading today, later today, I'm assuming. And that's going to be, higher than the offer price of $51 that they were looking at. And this values the company at $54 billion on a fully diluted basis. So the chips are the most of smartphones in the world, and they hope to ride the wave of AI, and generative AI. And so this is really, big for this equity capital markets, because a lot of bankers and IPOs and equity capital markets, they're just not seeing any deal flow. There's nobody who wants to go public right now, because they're just not sure where things are headed. But there are some other fun companies that are looking to go public, like Birkenstock and Instacart. Instacart's been rumoring that for years. I don't know if they've been doing rumoring for years. So we'll see if this invigorates the IPO market. Probably not, just because of where you think things are headed in the last, where I think things are headed in the last half of last quarter of this year and the early quarter of next year. So we'll keep an eye on it. But big news from the IPO market. We'll see how they fare. And if that will spur other companies to say, all right, they did okay, I will, try to dip my toes in the water and do an initial public offering. Fuel prices. If you're seeing the news last few weeks, fuel prices are starting to creep up. The price of diesel, jet, and marine fuels are surging thanks to Saudi and Russian oil production cuts, driving crude oil prices to the highest levels in nearly a year. Hit the hardest, construction, farming, and transportation. Jet fuel has seen the highest spike, with its prices more than 50% on the Gulf Coast since May. Five major airlines have warned that higher fuel costs in the third quarter for landbound users, that there will be higher fuel costs in the third quarter. Of course, you're going to see this pain at the pump if you're a driver. The fuel price is starting to go up, and that played a part in CPI for last month. That's another reason why CPI didn't really go down as much. It was kind of flat to up, as you're seeing these fuel prices rise because of the production cuts by the Saudi and the Russians. And you're going to see those prices potentially rise. You usually see it more in the summer. It seems like to be late summer here to early fall. But that's going to have an effect on people at the pump. So if you're seeing that, you see a lot of people complain about the price of things, inflation, and that's still not going away, ladies and gentlemen. It's still not going away. Some more news. I'm looking to see if Americans' wealth hits an all-time high, but don't look at their bank accounts. So this is an interesting story. I'm just reading it now. Net worth climbed as American stocks holdings soared by $2.6 trillion. The value of the real estate popped to $2.5 trillion. Behind the surge, booming tech stocks and a housing market that seems to be recovering from the Fed's rate hike crusade. Wouldn't say that yet. It's still flat to down. Bounce checks. While household wealth has climbed, this week the Census Bureau said that inflation-adjusted median income in the U.S. slipped last year for the third straight year to just over 74K. It means that purchasing power is actually declining. That's a thing that people don't focus. People getting paid more a little bit here and there, but they don't focus on the fact that their purchasing power is decreased, because you're getting paid a little bit more, but everything else is increasing more than your increase in wage. And guess what? Your wage increase is going to stay flat to potentially lower. You have a downside risk as well as an upside risk, but it's going to stay flat more than likely for the next foreseeable few, two, three, 4 years. As you get a promotion, go to a new job, and it's going to be harder to go to a new job now than it was in the past. But inflation can't go backwards, right? It's going to continue to increase, and hopefully it increases at a slower pace. But it just means now that we have to be careful on that inflation portion, because purchasing power is gone. America's credit card debt passed a record $1 trillion last quarter, pushing overall household debt to $17 trillion. The savings rate fell to 3.5% in July, down from 4.3% in June. You're seeing less people save. And the poverty rate had the largest annual jump on record last year. That's not good news. Don't like to see that, especially child poverty. Don't want to see any of that go down. We talked about this earlier, but Birkenstock—that's that shoe company—or they're filing for an IPO, proving you're never too old to go public. I think it's almost 250 years old, it looks like, or maybe I could be totally wrong on that. It's a comfy shoemaker which got a boost from the cameo in Barbie. So they're trying to ride the trend of Barbie. I've never seen the movie, but maybe that's worn in there. And they're now saying that they want to go public as well. This is interesting. New Women Plus Connect program matches up women and non-binary drivers and riders. Lyft and Uber have a safety feature in recent years, letting riders share their trip progress with friends. I like this. You know, you're seeing there was a talk on social media a while ago that people, you know, they do background checks if you want to be an Uber driver or Uber delivery person or Caviar or any of those things, those gig working jobs. And sometimes if someone has a bad history, but they have a partner or a girlfriend or whatever that doesn't, they'll use them to sign up, but then they'll be delivering the food. And that scares, and that's not, you know, good for safety, and it scares some people. And so being able to verify and having a Woman Connect, you know, program, I think is a good way to keep people safe. And so that's something to keep watch. Quick fact, US car insurance prices have soared nearly 20% in the past year. That's pretty a big jump there. I saw the story earlier and I thought it was, you know, pretty big. But California is going to try to raise wages to $20 minimum. So fast food minimum wages are likely to rise in California as labor makes gains during hot strike summer. So you're seeing it. So starting in April, fast food chains in the Golden State with 60 or more locations have to pay with their workers at least $20 an hour, up from the current minimum wage of $15.50, which is already among the highest in America. It's not just a win for workers. If they're approved by the state's legislature, the deal will replace a law passed that last year that restaurants hated. The law would establish government-appointed advisory councils as well. So yeah, I think one thing that's happening here is minimum wage. That's always been a bit of a debate. You saw UPS strike. You saw different areas. Yeah, wages is the biggest expense line for any company, more than likely in most cases. And so they try to not increase it often, right? Like if people are like, oh, if you're in a revenue-generating role, that's probably the best role to be in any company. Revenue-generating meaning sales, earning revenue for the company, right? Of course, they could pay you more, right? Like if they you do a $20 million deal for the company, I think they can give you 30% of that. No, of course they could pay you more, but they don't. It doesn't work well for the business model if they're just paying everyone money enough where they retire. As soon as you got that, you know, $3 million, you're gonna retire. You got that $6 million, you're gonna retire because they don't want that, right? They want to pay you enough, which is again the business model for you to continue to work, continue to put money in your 401k. Continue to be there, but not enough where you could just say adios, see ya. That's the same model, of course, at UFC. The president Dana White, UFC, said, "Hey, why would he pay every fighter a bunch of money? Then none of them would want to fight. Who wants to get in the cage and fight another human being?" So he doesn't want to pay all of them a bunch of money, so they don't ever want to fight. If they have enough money, they're not going to do that. So they can just take care of their family. So that's the model for these companies, folks. That's why we always preach, you know, earning for yourself, you know, creating, you know, wealth for yourself, which I don't think it's in here, but another story that was interesting. I'll see if it's in here. UFC and WWE emerged under Endeavor. Endeavor is like the holding company that owned UFC, and they merged with WWE, which is the wrestling platform, and UFC is obviously the Ultimate Fighting Championship MMA platform. They merged and created a new merge company, combined company called that will trade under the ticker symbol TKO. I think it's called Endeavor Operating Holding LLC or something of that nature. Big. It's like a $50 billion combined company, two of the biggest platforms in the world combining. That's something to take note of. Now trading under TKO, if I'm not mistaken. So much more news. Apple also had their big event. I didn't read it or didn't watch it, but I think a new iPhone is coming. New operating system obviously usually comes. They now are doing USB-C, which is the charging. They're now affiliating with the way everyone else has it. And now that's, I think they're charging $29 for the port or something of that nature. But the phone's coming, 4x more camera megapixels, and the ability to capture spatial videos optimized for viewing on Apple's Vision Pro headset. So nothing much. I think I have the 14 or whatever it is. I don't even know if people need to upgrade. You don't need to upgrade every year. I think people that are a few years behind usually upgrade. That's so we'll see. That's just another big heavy laden big day with news, more merge news. PB&J Smucker is buying Hostess for $5.6 billion. Man, Hostess, what else do they do for 5.6 billion? They make snack cakes like donuts and ding dongs. I actually hate those type of cakes. Like I have a sweet tooth, but I hate like the donuts and ding dongs, and that's just never been my jam. Like I'm a cookie, brownie, other types, but not, nah, I just no. But it's a cash and stock deal. 54% premium over Hostess stock price last month when this deal was reported looking to happen. Hostess surged 19% on the news, with Smucker fell 7%. So big merger news. You're seeing a little bit of M&A traction, not that much as we saw before. It's been quiet in the capital markets for the bankers. It's just quiet. People not doing much. There's less liquidity. People slow a little bit down. There was so much more news in sports and different areas. We are now looking. I did see that. We talked about this, the big arm IPO. It's a British design maker. They're trading soon at a $54 billion company. So a lot of news, folks. I just gave you so much. So we're going to go into our question of the week. I had some good ones, so I wanted to touch on them. I read them, but I didn't look at the answers yet. So we'll look at the answers together. But what are the top three? These are tax. The theme is taxes. So what are the top three expenses the government paid for with our tax dollars in the most recent year? What are the top three? I think it's going to be defense, public safety, like cops and stuff. I don't know what the third one would be, but that would be my guess. Oh, health insurance. I should have had that. Health insurance, 25% of our funds from tax dollars goes there. Social security to keeping our elderly people well. And then defense is 13%. So I was one out of the three. Missed the health. That's that. I should have had that. I should have had that. I forgot about that. Yeah, health insurance should be more. I mean, we still pay for it on our own, right? So I don't get it. Social security, that made sense. Should have had that one. And interest on debt is 7%. So that's interesting. That's interesting. That's where our tax dollars go, folks. If you want to know, that's where they go. Another tax theme. If you make 40,000, how much will you pay in federal income taxes? So again, income taxes of course increase as income increases. So someone that makes 40K, what are they paying, like 6K? I would say 6K. I don't even know, not much, I would assume. 3K, 3,000 taxable income is 40,000. Standard deduction is $12,950. So you are taxable on 2,700 or 27,000. 10% of the first 10,000 is 1,000 or 10% tax on the first 10,000. So the lowest tax bracket is like the first $10,000. It's 10% tax, and then 12% tax on the remaining 16,000 of taxable income, which would be another 2%. So you come to an effective tax rate of $3,000 on someone that made 40,000 for the year. And that's federal taxes. Does that include state and other different things? So interesting to note. I think those are good questions, and a good episode. So make sure you share this with your family and friends as we continue to grow this platform, and New Streets continue to be one of the top growing firms in the country. We'll see you next week.